Good morning. Thank you for coming out on the last session. As some of you might have seen the program, Dr. Baez Conde-Garbanati was supposed to be presenting author, but she couldn't make it this morning. She sends her saludos and regards and wishes she could have been here this morning. So she sent me in her place. Today we're talking about searching for equity with community health workers, promotoras de salud, ages of change in places that matter, urban versus rural differences. And we'll be talking about three different projects, so there'll be brief overviews. If you have more questions later on, I could be happy to talk about with them to you. Before Kayana, I have no financial disclosures either. We have quite a few co-authors, because I said there are three projects, and as you all know, CHW's projects take a lot of collaboration and groundwork to get it going, so it takes a huge amount of human capital to get them going and be successful. And also, as mentioned earlier, this is part of the USC Tobacco Center Regulatory Science, which is headed by Dr. Jonathan Samet and Dr. Marianne Pence. And during this presentation, we want to discuss, I'm not going to define health equity too much because our previous presenter did a very good job of that. Then I want to go on a little bit more about indicators of health equity, how can we determine what health equity is, and then a little bit about community health workers, then I want to go into the three model programs that we are discussing, and then overall conclusions and discussion of the challenges when working with community health workers in urban and rural areas. So this is what our previous presenter discussed already about health equity from WHO, about the absence of avoidable remedial differences among groups. Like I said, she already went into good detail, so I don't want to go over too much on that again. Some indicators about how can we determine in a community if there is health equity, how can we determine if there's inequity or health equity. Some indicators that we have found in the literature and some other previous work people have done is that there should be investment in community and capacity building for the members of this community to help them empower themselves, to advocate for themselves, to fight for their resources that they should have for equitable health. Healthy and clean housing policies for, we sometimes find many situations in urban areas, especially that those who are disadvantaged don't have the same type of housing that people in higher SES areas have, where it'd be clean, mold infested, or just a safe environment for them to live. An environmental design framework inclusive of healthy living considerations, and fund priority populations, advocacy, and leadership alliances. Once again, helping the people who are disadvantaged, who are in these low SES groups, or to be able to fight for themselves and work with the leadership in their area to get the changes they need to have a healthy life. Investment in child and adult education. Investments in providing safe and accessible environments. This includes schools, parks, healthcare settings, sidewalks, being able to go to the grocery store and feeling safe. Sustained campaigns that promote health to all members of the community. You know, we've seen a lot of campaigns that come to these areas and they come in once and never see them again, so we want to make sure we build the sustainability so that these healthy lifestyles can be changed throughout the time. Unburdened equitable access to healthcare providers and facilities. And integration of community members to address health inequities. We want to make sure we involve the actual community that needs the help so they can lead the change and lead the charge. So real quickly, the importance of community health workers in addressing health equity. On average, it takes 17 years for research to go from bench to bedside. And by including community health workers, we can decrease it significantly because they're already on the ground, they're delivering the program, and they already had the training from these research projects to carry it on after we leave or work in collaboration with us. Also, as I mentioned before, the community health worker is a trained community member providing health information and access to services. So since they're already a member of the community, they're already trusted, they have the buy-in, they have the relationship and the rapport to get people to participate more. And the community health workers and academic partnerships have been shown to be effective at addressing health inequities. There have been quite a few studies showing this. There's also been a few randomized clinical trials to show their effectiveness of how this works together. And it really is a win-win situation for both the academic partner and the community health workers. Academic partner gets to gain the research, then learn from the community health workers. And that's what I think is the real advantage, that we really learn from the community health workers about the community, because we don't go in as blindly and collaborate with them. So now I'm going to move on to our model programs. We have three of them. First is Regala Salud, Su Corazón Su Vida, and the T-Cores project that we're just getting started off, so it's very preliminary. And the last picture is our T-Cores class picture, I call it. It's all our investigative team. As you can see how large the center is, those are just the academic investigators. So with Regala Salud, it was funded by the California Department of Health, and we worked with community health workers. It was aimed to help increase tobacco control policies in multi-unit housing for low SES individuals in order to address asthma, secondhand smoke exposure, especially for children and elderly populations. You know, with multi-unit housing, they're right, especially in LA and California, they're really big. They look like hotels pretty much. They're right next to each other, share common walls, so it's easy for secondhand smoke to pass between apartments and residences. And we worked in Riverside County, which is a semi-rural community in Southern California. It's about 90 miles outside of downtown LA and then urban LA. And we worked on developing a working guide and resources to educate about secondhand smoke exposure for the residents and the landlords of these multi-unit buildings. And we encouraged the individuals to help the landlords to pass voluntary smoke-free policies in multi-unit housing. This was before California, just recently this past year, I think, passed a smoking ban in multi-unit housing that are federally funded or state-funded. So this is before that occurred. So it was helping the people find their own advocacy and self-efficacy to help encourage and fight for the smoking bans in the multi-unit housing. And to help the community health workers in developing the alliances and increasing this, we provide demographics, talking points, and information about changing community norms to help them intervene in these communities so they can better help the residents change the policies there. And we help them build alliances with the local coalitions and community boards so they can get the buy-in with the landlords, and also help them develop policy briefs and to help them adopt the policies. And the campaign was adopted, some of the outcomes of this campaign, the campaign was adopted by the CDC's National Latino Tobacco Network to be disseminated nationwide for similar projects. And the Promotoras de Salud were involved in every aspect of this project, from conceptualization to dissemination, and continued on with follow-up with the participants after the research study was done. They made sure that the multi-unit housings kept the bans, help give skills to the community member residents, how to remind people, oh, you shouldn't smoke here, and provide correct tips for it. And so this project helped in achieving health equity from the indicators we mentioned earlier about through multi-unit smoke-free housing provided a safe and accessible environment for the children, the elderly, and to help prevent chronic diseases from exposure to secondhand smoke. And the state of California has also sustained this project through multi-unit housing and now has passed the law recently. So that's one of our achievements from this too. And all who wish to quit smoking in multi-unit housing are now given more resources too to help them quit with the helpline and other tools, access to nicotine treatment. So that was one of the big achievements for that project. And in some of the urban versus rural differences, how place matter for this project. In LA, we worked with local community organizations who were advocacy groups already, and they already had the rapport with the landlords and the multi-unit housing units and the owners, so it wasn't as difficult to get the buy-in in there, so they had the relationship to help pass smoking bans. In comparison, in Riverside County, the semi rural doesn't have the same organizational structure because it's not as populated, and so we had to adapt our approach due to that. And also the population where we worked at was more migrant farm workers, and so they weren't there full-time. So in summer, for instance, the men tended to be more home than the females because of the switch of the agriculture season, depending who was working in the farms during that time. And so it took time we had to adapt based on who was home to change the messaging. And in Riverside County, for instance, since there wasn't the coalitions as much as they were in LA, it took 4 years to help develop that relationship with those local community agencies to get the buy-in with the landlords. And it's out of order, sorry about that. It's also about achieving health equity. It also helped by training technical assistance to community members to address health inequity, smoke-free, multi-unit housing. Like I mentioned earlier, they got the tools so later on to keep on fighting for themselves. So even if they moved from a unit that was smoke-free and had another one that was smoking, they could go there and start to change and initiate the change and recruit people to pass the change in the new buildings. And the educational materials this one is being evaluated right now. It's called Marta on a Mission, and it's a photo novella. It's a photo novella, if you don't know, instead of having a film novella because of expense, you just put the pictures of the novella scenes in the pamphlet and pass it out. And an educator showed a mom having a child with asthmatic symptoms and multi-unit housing. They're trying to figure out what's going on, and the whole time you see the smokers right outside her window or in the room next door, and it shows her how going through the process of advocating for a smoke-free process. Now we're going to move on to the program number two, Su Corazón, Su Vida, means your heart, your life. This was funded by the NHLBI, and this was implemented to evaluate a healthy eating, physical activity curriculum for heart health in rural Kern County and urban LA. This program had been developed back in the 90s, I believe, with input from community organizations, and has been tested several times, but this time they wanted to test it across different groups. We were one of the groups with Latinos, and there's groups across the nation for American Indians, African Americans, Asian Americans, Pacific Islanders, and younger populations, older populations, just across the nation. And for this program, we were able to engage 25 community health workers in both counties, and at baseline, we were able to recruit over 700 participants. And at post, we had still over 500 participants, so we were able to retain a good amount. So in Kern County, there was 12 community health workers. In LA County, we had 13. And all the CHWs received a human certification from NIH, and also they were trained in research practices to how to consent, how to recruit, how to evaluate the program, to do data collection, and also do data entry. All the sessions were limited to 15 participants. That's the max. And once the sessions began, they couldn't allow other people to join, such as in session 4, oh, I want to come to the program too. That wasn't allowed to maintain the fidelity of the research study, which was very hard for our community health workers, because we know community health workers are very passionate about helping others. And it was hard for them to say, oh, we can't come in, because they really wanted to reach out to other people. But they stuck with it and were able to do it. And that's the picture of some of the community health workers and some of our research staff, too. And we partner with Vision y Compromiso in California, which is a very large network of promotoras, 4,000 members throughout the state. And this is some of the baseline frequencies to show the need for this program. Only 7% had prediabetes and 8.3% had diabetes, but 10% were not sure if they had diabetes at all. 10.8% were not sure if they had heart disease. I mean, 9.2% were not sure if they had heart disease. And 13.5% were not sure if they had family history of heart disease. So not being aware of this indicators was very crucial to improving that. And some of the results that we had at baseline from the changes of knowledge, you see we had quite a few significant changes. The heart disease wasn't significant, but it was almost there. The heart disease risk knowledge, but for cholesterol risk, diabetes risk, stroke knowledge, and physical activity knowledge, we had all significant results. And there was also significant change in physical activity. At baseline, 32% reported only having one day or less of physical activity, and at post-test, only 7% reported having one day or less of physical activity. And this helped achieve health equity by investing in providing accessible environments for health education to the community. The promotoras were very good about trying to make sure their session group could meet whenever they could. They would do shuttle rides, they would meet at a park, whatever they could to make sure they get the best attendance possible. And they sustained 11 session workshop program. It took 3 months to deliver the whole curriculum to all members of the Latino community in rural Bakersfield in Los Angeles. And it also provided equitable access to healthcare providers, facilities through the program resources, and integrated the promotoras salud and community members to address health inequities in cardiovascular disease and obesity prevention. And some of the challenges we had with the urban versus rural. In the urban area, the promotoras were able to deliver the programs in schools because they already had those connections in the school settings. But the school settings, as we all know, I'm sure, have their own bureaucracy to deal with. So it took a while to get the buy-in from the principals to allow us to use the facilities. And opposite, in rural Kern County, the promotoras had to be more innovative and proactive to decide how to have the sessions because they didn't have as many schools. So they were the ones using parks, their homes, community centers, churches, the farm fields, to deliver the curriculum wherever they could find it. And they were very innovative. They were very good about social media, like, oh, anybody know a place where I can go tonight to do my session? And so it was very impressive to see what they did. Real quickly, because I'm almost out of town, the T-Course project. This one's about, our project is one of the three projects in the T-Course, and we're going to do retail environment. We're treating the retail environment as the vulnerable population because they have to deal with the FDA compliance and also from the compliance with their tobacco company contracts. And so we're going to help them learn how to communicate with both sides of it and how to advocate for themselves for their rights and for the community to decrease the access to tobacco products, especially for minors and the disadvantaged populations. We are working the African-American community, American Indian community, Latino community, and Korean-American community in greater LA. And for the American Indian community, we're working rural Northern California. Recently, this past summer, we had focus groups with 70 key opinion leaders from each of the communities, and there were 90. We recruited them from health, media, business, religious, and educational organizations. And we also, it was a mixed methods approach, but we also had an anchoring survey to ask about their backgrounds and what their beliefs were and their knowledge about the FDA were. And some of the results were that the distribution of the participants in each of the ethnic groups. And one of the interesting results were the differences of each of the groups were how they felt their retailers were informed of tobacco laws. And you can see that for most part they're decent, but for some communities they were higher, like for instance the African American, 21% didn't feel that they were well aware, same thing for the Hispanic communities. And also if they were aware about e-cigarettes being used as a quitting device in their communities, and over 70% said yes. And this helps by giving a better understanding to the FDA about how to better communicate with these retailers and local mom and pop shops, for instance, to decrease the exposure to tobacco. Real quick, I'm out of time. Some of the challenges with this project with the herbal versus rural areas is the tape part, because we're going to be so spread out with the rural part, is confidentiality, the data quality, the integrity, maintaining the rigor, and like I said, working across the large area. And in the LA communities, we have to work with several layers of bureaucracy, deal with the county, the city, the state, all the different board of equalization. And in the rural parts, the population, we have to work hard to achieve the trust, because the distrust they have of federal agency, especially coming in to do data collection. Even though we're our own institution, we have to, we're representing the FDA in essence. So that's why we're using community health workers for our data collection to help gain that trust better. Some of the lessons learned, community health workers have a unique perspective and experiences and add to study success, and their contributions to data interpretation allow for more meaningful analysis. And they play a critical role in limiting health disparities, and we can engage in participatory research generates a win-win situation, like I mentioned earlier, for both the academics and the community members and for the community health workers. And we must remember that this is a partnership, and we've also given a take on both sides. There from a source like for Sucos and Subida had to release their control of the project to follow the research rigor. And we should always remember the essence of CHW they're dedicated to helping increasing the health of their community. That's their passion, that's their drive. And so we gotta remember to put that in context with our own ambitions. And further academic partnerships with CHWs will help further validate their important role in reducing health inequities and help validate their resources too and their need for more money for their ambitions. And that's it.